Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast. It's Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast. Hashtag. It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, also known as Dick Baxter. Joining me, as always, is Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Ryan Davey, a.k.a. Arvon D., a.k.a. the OG Davey Tinglefingers.
That's right. The first Davey Tinglefingers. The guy could never feel his fingers. Yep. They're a little tingly.
That's a real thing. I did rupture the brachial plexus in my neck, and now my left hand tingles whenever someone pats me on the back.
That's
a real thing.
It's a real thing that you have to live with, Ryan, and I'm sorry.
I do have to live with that.
Sorry to hear that. I think we need to have aliases, though. I think that's important. And so I forever now I want to be known as Dick Baxter going forward. Because
okay, Dick.
I think I was going to call you not Brian Koo. I thought that could be a good nickname.
Anyone but Brian Koo is my new nickname.
Anybody but Brian Koo. Ryan, I am so excited for this episode, and I know you are too.
Oh, just this is just going to be a lukewarm bath, just a tepid pool of takes from me today.
I think you're going to really enjoy it. I think you're going to be convinced how good this franchise is. But before we get to that, Ryan, let's get to the news. First things first, Ryan, we know that Star Wars had a lot planned. They were going to make all kinds of movies. They were very excited about where the franchise was going. And one of the spinoff movies originally planned was a Boba Fett spinoff. And apparently that has been axed.
Well, with Jon Favreau's thing coming, I don't see the need for this anymore. You're going to talk about Mandalorians. You're going to talk about that planet and who comes from there. Right. Maybe Boba Fett gets in there. Maybe we mention him a little bit, but I don't think this is necessary anymore. And I think it's probably best that we cut back on the Star Wars from here on out.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we got a little, they were like, oh, this is going to make money. He's like, well, not everything's going to just make money. Like, you still need to make it good. Like, that's still part of it. And I think you're right. I think the Favreau thing, where remember we talked about it, I think he's even going to be wearing some of Boba Fett's gear. So they're going to have that covered. And again, the Mandalorian, not the Metachlorian, which is a...
which would be a terrible show.
A small but important difference. So
yes, that's very huge difference.
I know you wanted to see a Boba Fett movie, but still probably the best.
I want a Boba Fett game. That's what I want.
Ooh, a Boba Fett game. I like that.
You know what I mean? Like, think like Red Dead Redemption, yes, but with Boba Fett, and you're just bounty hunting.
And go ahead and save the email. I know I say Boba Fett. I know that's just how I say it. So
I'm not going to correct you. We've been down this road, and I'm not going to do it.
Everybody knows who I'm talking about, so you can save the goddamn emails. That's exactly how I say it. There's certain words and certain names. That's how I say it.
You also say milk instead of milk, which used to drive me crazy. Yeah. I'm good with it now.
Yeah, milk, like M-E-L-K.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it is. And then when I try to say it normal, I like have to pinch my nose and go, milk. Milk. Have like a nice glass of milk.
Milk.
Yeah. Milk. Please don't do that ever again.
See, that's even worse, yeah, right? That's worse than
that. That's milk. Terrible. Just terrible.
Fucking milk. All right, Ryan, this is I know a show. You didn't dip in on 13 Reasons Why, did you?
No, and for personal reasons. We don't have to get into that now.
No, don't. No, but, you know what? Probably save that. That's fine. I would just say the second season I couldn't even get through. It was awful. Like, I only watched a couple episodes. It was awful. The first season was good.
And a lot of people said that. That's what I've heard, is that the first season was like worth watching, and then the second season was just like,
holy smokes,
it just didn't make any sense.
They brought the whole cast back, and it was just awful. And like, a lot of them are terrible actors, but the two main actors, the one actor and the one actress, are really, really good. And anyway, the main girl from the series, her name is Catherine Langford. And she apparently has been cast in the next Avengers movie. I don't think she has a role yet, but she's a pretty good actress. I don't know. She's got to be like in her 20s. I think she's British. I don't know what she's going to play, but I'm intrigued.
I'm pretty sure that the kid in that show was one of the finalists with Tom Holland to be Spider-Man too.
Oh yeah, I forget.
I'm almost positive. Logan Lerman. It's not Logan Lerman, is it? No, it's someone like that. But the kid from 13 Reasons Why was a finalist to play Spider-Man.
He was the kid in Don't Breathe, also. And
yes, correct.
You've seen him in a few other things. He's good.
Wait, was it Get Out or Don't Breathe?
Don't Breathe. He was in Don't Breathe.
Or Green Room. I don't get those. I always get those confused.
A Quiet Place.
Yes.
So there's that. Also, speaking of Netflix, a couple of other Netflix news and notes. This is not great news, Ryan, because they were going through a whole bunch of... They axed Luke Cage. They axed Iron Fist. The next thing to go, American Vandal. We're not going to get a season three.
Shit. Horse shit.
I know.
That the show is getting canceled. Because this show, like, I bet a lot of people don't watch it, but it's really funny.
It is very good. The first season I liked more than the second, but the second was still pretty good, even though it was only two of the same characters and they went to a whole different school. And I thought even me with what I find funny, even I was like, well, how, you know, poop, like, I like, how are they going to be able to make 13 or 10 episodes of poop funny? But they did. They found a way to do it.
I love the dehydrated powdered cat shit in the t-shirt launching guns. Oh, like, that was one of my favorites.
Oh, ridiculous. So
but it's not as funny, as you said, it's not as funny, not as compelling as Who Drew the Dicks, but it's still funny.
Who did the dicks? And like that cast, that school was better. I think the kids in that school were funnier.
Oh, absolutely. What impression did he do? Oh, Kiefer Sutherland? Do a killer Kiefer Sutherland impression.
That's like in Pineapple Express. He could, like,
Jeff Goldblum? Yeah,
Jeff Goldblum impressions? Like, oh, man, he's awesome. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is out, Ryan. I have not watched it yet, but I am looking forward to it.
My wife is like four episodes in, and she likes it. She's, as you know, we've talked about it time and time again. She's a big Buffy person.
Yes.
But what you'll be happy to know is now, because she's kind of into Sabrina.
Riverdale.
That came out wrong. Yes, now she wants to watch Riverdale.
Good. Oh, Riverdale is just out there. It is... So I'm caught up now. There's only been three episodes this season. It is so out there bonkers. So, like, if you're trying to watch a show and be like, trying to make sense of everything, you're not going to like it. But if you like these shows where high school kids and you're okay with them having way too much responsibility and, like, they're in charge of stuff and they're, like, doing more adult things than adults are, then
more about that. More about that later.
Yes, absolutely. More about that later. But it is. Yep. It's a fun show. I'll leave it at that. And so I'm guessing Sabrina is too.
What I want to see, if they're doing Sabrina and they're doing Archie in Riverdale, I want to see like a hardcore Josie and the Pussycats TV show where they're like all strung out on like meth And you know what I mean? Like they're a real band and like a successful band, because those are all the same universe.
Well,
I don't know if you know that.
Well, I do know that. And also Josie and the Pussycats are in Riverdale.
Oh, they are?
Oh, you bet your sweet ass they are.
Well, I want like a spinoff of them where they're an actual band and go through like band problems.
They could, you know what I mean? Yeah, Josie's very good. I like Josie. She's good in this. The Pussycats, spoiler alert, there's been, you know, they're together and then they're not together. It's a thing, you know, but they're all in it. I mean, almost every character is from the comics. Like, you'll find even like obscure characters. You're like, oh, who's this guy? And they take them and they, you know, twist it and do whatever they want with them. But they're all like from, like, it's not just Veronica, Betty, Jughead, and Archie, and then like a made up universe. It's all like comic characters. Pretty sweet.
Oh, so like, who's this weird cab driver that keeps showing up? Like, well, that's Doiby Dickles.
Doiby Dickles getting into some shenanigans again. All right, Brian, that's all the news I got. You got any other news before we get to the Red Dead 2 review?
It's just the Red Dead 2 review. No, let's hit it.
All right.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, I've also played this, but not nearly as long as you had. So tell me about Red Dead 2.
So it's a lot. I mean, I think you've put in probably a couple hours at this point.
Yeah.
Like they do not waste time doing anything. And what's frustrating to me is that like very important gameplay things, like very important mechanics are like just they'll flash them up in like the top left hand corner. And if you miss them, like they're done. Like they never tell you again. Mm-hmm. Like it's very unforgiving. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm just kind of stuck. There's a lot to do.
There is like, it's a lot big. To do.
So it's a little slow out of the gate, but I think hopefully it'll pick up at some point. I did get into some hijinks, which is good.
Oh, that is good.
I am wanted in several different towns that I can't set a foot in, by no fault of my own, mind you. No fault of my own.
You're just minding your own business as far as I'm
concerned. Well, you know, you're breaking your friends out of prison and they're being, you know, jabronis and you got to help them out. But,
so my problem so far, and I'm glad you said it, that it's a little bit slow out of the gate. I'm thinking, and I'm still early on in the process, and like the graphics are great. It looks really cool. And maybe this isn't a popular opinion, but as I'm playing it, I'm like, Grand Theft Auto is so much more fun.
It's more fun. That's for sure. Like, as of right now,
goddamn conversations I've had on a horse, just following a guy on a horse, just like,
yeah,
and, I'm like, all right, and that's dude, what I'm saying. I get it. Like, I'm on a horse. It's not as fun to be. I'd rather steal a car and drive all around with like machine guns than like horseback. Like, hey, go shoot those deer with a bow and arrow. I'm like, yeah, fine. I'll get them.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna pick up a little bit, and hopefully it'll do that. I think I'm about like 10 hours in, which is nothing. It's nothing.
No,
in terms of this game. So
scraping by.
I'm barely scraping the surface. They're like, hey, we found this legendary bear. Like, do you want to try to kill it? And I'm like, okay. And then I just get absolutely like DiCaprio'd by this bear. The only other thing I will bring up in the video game minute is Sony finally released its list for the PlayStation Classic. Richard, have you seen these games?
I have.
I would say for $100, you're essentially paying for like five games.
Yeah. And so basically it's like, just so you could play what, you know, Grand Theft Auto or Twisted Metal, would you pay?
But the thing is, it's the original Grand Theft Auto, the top down Grand Theft Auto. Like, it's not even the good one.
No, I know. It's the one that like, I remember playing on the computer and being like, oh, this is kind of neat.
I mean, yeah, but the games I would play again, I would play Rayman, I would play Resident Evil, I would play Siphon Filter, Tekken 3 a lot, and Final Fantasy VII and Twisted Metal. Other than that, I'm not playing any of these games.
Yeah, I just think
they have one.
And as a PlayStation owner, and we logged a lot of hours on PlayStation, it's just in a weird middle ground where the games prior, and we've talked about it, like Nintendo, Sega, Super Nintendo, those games have sort of that nostalgia feel, and they're still super fun. And then the PlayStation games, they're kind of trapped in between because the graphics are shit compared to like the PS4, but they're also not like, you didn't grow up on, or at least we didn't grow up on those. So it's like, I don't know. I don't really need to replay them.
And that's the thing. Like you said, it's in like this weird gray area where they're not really classic games.
No.
But like, who thought, I mean, somebody's like, all right, you know, we're going to put in this. We're not going to put Street Fighter. We're going to put Street Fighter or a Super Puzzle Fighter Turbo 2, which is somebody at Capcom was like, hey, you know what would make Street Fighter more fun? Tetris.
No, it wouldn't.
Like, it absolutely does not. Like, I don't know why you have this game. There's a game. So you have Ridge Racer 4, which is a great racing simulation.
That was fun.
You have Twisted Metal, And yet they have this game called, like, what the hell is it?
Yep.
Demolition Derby or something like that. It's like a Demolition Derby game where you're like, if I wanted a racing game, I'd play Ridge Racer. If I wanted to blow cars up, I'd play Twisted Metal. Why do I have this game here?
But you really want Twisted Metal 2.
You really do want Twisted Metal 2, but I'll take Twisted Metal 1.
I guess. But that's almost like getting Mega Man and not Mega Man 2. It's like, well, the other game's so much better. Like, just give me that one.
Yeah, like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
But. Weird puzzle games. There's like this weird jumping game that, like, I don't know anybody who's ever owned these games, and I'm glad because I don't know why. I don't want to meet those people.
All right, so how about this? If you could have every single, if let's just say hypothetically there was a mini version of every single system ever made, and sure. it has like the top 10 games. So let's say it only has 10 sure. games, but it's the 10 games of your choosing. What would the order be of consoles that you would have to have? Just give me, give me the top three. Give me the top three. I don't need to rank them all, but just like the three ones. Like for me, like the original Nintendo would be one of them.
Yes, I would do. Yeah. I would do Nintendo 64.
Yeah,
PlayStation 2.
Oh, real interesting with PS2. Yeah.
Well, think of like the 10 best games you played on PlayStation 2 were incredible.
That's true. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yes. And that's not counting modern consoles, like the modern iteration of consoles, because I would take the PlayStation 4 immediately.
I was going to say, the way the PlayStation 4 is going, yeah, like, for sure. But if, if you're going everywhere in between, yeah, that's probably, I know Goo would take Dreamcast.
Yeah, think because that's like, he also took Stella in the 90s TV draft, so that just shows you where his head is.
That was tough.
He's gonna take like a GameCube.
That was those were a couple
no one
of
wanted
picks.
A GameCube.
Yeah, yeah, I would be really tempted to take a Sega, like if I could load it with the 10 games for my Sega, but PS2 might get the nod, and then obviously the original Nintendo. So there you go.
Yeah, and Nintendo 64, because like I think the top five
are as good as it gets.
And 64 games, they're awesome.
All right, Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
Nope.
Well, you better be, because I've been waiting 2.5 long years to do this episode. It is finally here. It's the topic of the day. That would be the Scream franchise. That's right, folks. The greatest horror franchise in the history of horror or franchises. There are 4 Scream films. They're the original trilogy that came out in 96, 97, 2000, and then Scream 4 in 2011. A lot of different ways we can do this, Ryan. We can sort of jump into each movie quickly. I also created a list, roughly 21 things on why it's the best. I also have a few what-ifs, including casting decisions, if they went a different way. And I only have like a couple of things as to how it could be better. Really only a couple.
just a couple. Just, one or two. I'm going to tell you why this is the greatest, and I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
All right, let's start with Scream 1. It came out in 1996, 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. And the reason why I even mention that and I say that it's odd is because Scream 2 had an 81. And no matter who you are, even Ryan Davey, the biggest Scream critic out there, there's no way in hell Scream 2 is better than the first Scream.
I absolutely agree. I would put, now when you say I'm not a Scream fan,
you're not.
I'm not. But that's a little unfair. I am not. I like the first Scream. I find the second Scream tolerable.
Okay,
and that's it.
Well, first of all,
so
how dare you?
Yeah, go ahead. No, don't give me the how dare you. You made me do this. You're going to listen. You're going to listen to every damn word I have to say.
Second of all, how do you sleep at night? And third, how dare you?
When I first saw it, I loved the first Scream. I did. But when I first saw it in 1990.
Last Dorktober, it was hashtag Dorktober 2 Electric Boogaloo, and we ranked the top 50 horror movies. We each did it. And Scream either wasn't on your list or it was insanely low. I forget which.
It was insanely low. It was insanely low.
I don't think it was on your list. I'm being honest.
You went crackers. It might not have been on my list. And I'll tell you why, because I don't see it as like a. Because
you forgot.
I probably forgot. That's the thing. I probably forgot. Like a straight horror movie.
Well, it is, though. I mean, it's a slasher, and all slashers are horror movies.
I suppose so. In the way that, like, it's a parody of those things. And I thought that. To be fair, I'm going to be as diplomatic as possible tonight. It was clever. This movie was very clever.
Thank you.
It was. And I had been tired. It was the first of its kind. I was very tired of horror movies to this point, and this kind of breathed some new life into the genre,
It needed it. There was nothing going on. You look at the 90s horror movies, there was a couple like real gems. There was, you know, Silence of the Lambs, there was Candyman, there was a couple of others that were really good, but it was all Friday the 13th part like 7 and like Nightmare on Elm Street part 6 and like another Halloween and like, you know, this was a year after Curse of Michael Myers, which is the worst Halloween. We already went over it. It's the worst one.
Right.
So this came out, and what's crazy is with all the horror movies, this is the first one ever to have the characters reference other horror movies and like know that it's dumb to run upstairs. Like it's the first one to do that. It seems like a simple premise, but none of them had ever done that before. So it was awesome.
Well, it also pointed out what everything that was wrong to that point, like everything was so formulaic, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but like it was nice to live in that world where there it's like self-aware. You know, I think Cabin in the Woods did this too, on a much more creative level, but you know, pointing out all the things that happen in horror movies that you might not necessarily like anymore, like and you all those things you would yell at the screen, like don't go in the basement by yourself, like what are you doing?
Right.
You know, so you know, it was clever in that regard.
And right out of the shoot, I would say this is the best opening sequence, opening 10 minutes in a horror movie ever made.
Sure.
Like, I love it. And I think I've told the story on the podcast before, but I don't know if they still do it, but on DirecTV, what they used to do is on all their pay-per-view channels, they would have the movies, and they would air at certain times. So this was even before, like, you know, now you just watch a movie whenever the fuck you want to watch a movie. Then they would be like, starting at 8 o'clock, like, check out this movie. And you would go to it, and it was like, you know, $3-4 or whatever it was. But the first 5 minutes of every pay movie you could watch for free. And so I watched the first 5 minutes of Scream like 1,000 times. And I was just like,
because it was like 5 minutes on the nose.
Yeah, it was exactly 5 minutes. And so, like, I don't think I saw Drew Barrymore get killed, but you saw her, like, most of her conversation in the house and, like, maybe the mask for, like, a second. Like, I think that's about where it got to. But I'm like, holy shit, like, what happens? Like, but I was so scared because this movie came out when I was 12. So I was, like, so scared of movies even then. And so I didn't see it till, I don't know, a few years after that. But I'm like, that is so good. And also, you know, not only is Scream self-aware, which is not a lot of movies were, but Drew Barrymore at that time, far and away the most famous actress in the movie, and she's in it for 10 minutes. Like that's also pretty crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but she's like almost 30, and she's supposed to be playing a high school student.
Was she 30? That's a good question.
I don't think so, but she was way too old to be playing a high school student.
It is funny to think about. So yeah, she was. No, actually, she was 21. She was 21.
Is she that young?
Yeah, she was born in 75. I just looked it up.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was only 21. Right. But even still, it's funny for me to think about her being in class with Sidney Prescott and Billy and Stu and Tatum. Like, from them.
Yeah, I think like Hayden Panettiere was like 23 in Scream 4.
She probably was. She also had an older vibe to her. But yeah, so Drew Barrymore was almost Sidney Prescott, but then she ended up doing that role instead because of scheduling, and it just made it so much more impactful because you're like, she was on the front of the movie poster, and you're like, oh, Drew Barrymore, like everybody knows who Drew Barrymore is, and then the whole conversation, and this is her first look at the mask and the whole thing, and she's got it, and like it's super violent, like it is very violent, and then she's, you know, hung from a tree, her parents come home, and there you go, you're off and running. There's the beginning of the movie. So I love that. The other thing I love, love, love about Scream is multiple killers. Like, that's a pretty cool idea when you're comparing, especially to other slashers, and this gets sort of lumped in with a lot of the movies that they reference. So again, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, which all have one killer, so it's not a whodunit. Like, this is a straight up whodunit. And they have three killers that basically can't get killed in those movies. Whereas in this one, it's just a mask, a phone, and like a cape or whatever the hell that is. And that's what makes the killer. And I love that.
And I love the idea that like when you watch like old horror movies and like you see, you know, the person chasing the victim, and then the person, like the victim turns a corner and the killer's like right there. And you're like, how'd they do that? Yeah. And now the movie's like, well, there's actually two of them.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so that helps explain that.
Yeah. So that was really good. And as much as I liked the opening sequence, I loved the ending too. I thought the ending, not the very, very final scene, but the lead up to it where Billy and Stu are explaining like what's going on, because as the movie's going on, you're trying to figure out, you're trying to guess who did it. And
right.
Billy is kind of an obvious guy. Like the way Skeet Ulrich looks, kind of like the Johnny Depp mold from Nightmare on Elm Street. But like another guy who you're like, he looks like an older, he's got like the slicked back hair, and you're like, it probably is him, right? And so like you kind of go back and forth on him. So the first time I saw it, I thought he was maybe the killer. I did not see Stu coming at all. I don't know if you thought Stu was in on it.
I did not. But he was a good lackey. I think Matthew Lillard plays like a good, like stupid friend in this. And he delivers one of the worst lines of this movie. They, like, at the time, I didn't mind it. But now, like, I did watch all of these movies again in preparation for this. Good. I didn't mail it in like some people do.
No, good.
Or want to do. Well, but I did watch all of these movies.
You hadn't seen 3 and 4 before, so you needed to watch those anyway.
I did what I needed to watch. But I did watch all four just as a refresher.
Did you not and like the Matthew, Houston I Have a Problem? Or We Have a Problem?
No, I hated, my parents are going to be so mad at me. Like, that was the worst line of the movie.
Well, but he was, you know, it was their house. You know, he kind of ruined their house a little bit.
Like, they just killed, like, 8 people. And he's like, my parents are going to be pissed.
But how
would... You know, like, that's the first thing.
I would not get hung up on that. That was a great moment. I know.
You got bigger problems than that.
They're not in this movie, you don't. This is the perfect horror movie. I love this horror movie. I would admit Halloween might be better, The Shining might be better, but this is my favorite horror movie ever made. The other part,
okay, so that, yeah, let's make the distinction. It's not the best horror movie that's ever been made. It's your favorite,
but that's still, and they're pretty close. And the way I think most of my favorite things are the best.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's why they're your favorite. You think they're the best?
Yes, right. Yeah. So the other part too is, so I thought it was a like one that you thought about after the fact was, so they had this whole plan. And they were going to frame Neil Prescott. They were going to frame Sidney's father. And, like, the whole thing with Billy's mom and, you know, what... Because Sidney's mom, Maureen, was sleeping around town and it split up Billy's marriage. So he had a motive. That's fine. And he got his friend to get in on it. So that was cool. And so they actually killed Maureen Prescott, not on camera. And that was all... I thought that was a great... part of the story too. So that was something that happened a year ago. Remember, that was like part of the whole movie. It was like, all right, it's the 1 year anniversary of this, which they did. So they got away. They completely got away with that murder. And then a year later, they try to frame the whole thing on the father. It doesn't work. But part of that was they had to be left for dead. So the scene where they're stabbing each other, I think is one of the craziest horror movie scenes of all time.
And that was one of the things that Matthew Lillard said that I thought was actually really funny when he's like, you stabbed me too hard.
Yeah.
Like you did it too. I thought that was pretty funny. But the other thing too, like the reason that this whole plot works is that it makes sense. It does. You will find in the later movies that some of these just don't really make that much sense.
No, you're definitely right. I'm not trying to say they're all perfect. I think this one is, I'll argue this one with anybody and about anything. The other three, you're right. They all have their issues. But this is like the perfect start. And so you kind of prop up, you know, Sidney, along with Dewey and Gale, like they're sort of like a triumvirate, but also this movie introduced you to Randy Meeks, who is my favorite character. I just did a 6-pack on some of his best quotes from the series. Most of them are in the first movie, but he's like the ultimate, like horror movie trivia guy. He's like the ultimate hashtag dork. Like he's the perfect guy.
If we knew him, he would definitely be on this podcast right now talking to us about it.
Yes, he would be a special co-host for every Dorktober episode.
Yes.
He'd be perfect. So he introduced you to them. I was a big Tatum fan. Really like Rose McGowan's Tatum.
McGowan, like she is like clear though in this movie, like translucent skin. Like the palest person I've ever seen. The blonde hair didn't do her any favors.
Well, no, but she specifically dyed her hair blonde because Neve Campbell was the lead role, and so they're like they didn't want to have two brunettes.
Yeah, so that makes sense. But but super super pale, but a very very pretty young lady.
She was very fair. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first movie. And like you said, so you got Billy and Stu are the killers. They end up dead. There was a total of 8 kills in this movie, which is a decent amount. Again, we just did the Halloween episode a couple weeks ago, and I think the first Halloween, I don't know, there's like five deaths. Like, there wasn't a ton of deaths in there.
Not a ton.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there's eight deaths in Scream. So now we go to Scream. And again, I'm going to go through some of the reasons why I think the whole series and why the movie is the best. And so I'll probably repeat some of the stuff there. But so okay. That's for Scream. So Scream 2, I already mentioned, comes out 1 year later because Scream was such a success. It didn't cost much
money
to make.
Huge success.
Made a ton of money. And what it did was it just created a ton of copycats. Like, there's a million. Like, that late 90s horror is a lot of trash. I mean, I like a lot of them, but you kind of know what they are. They're just Scream knockoffs for the most part. But right. So Scream 2 comes out the next year, like right away. 1997, 81%. This one, so now they're in college. Sydney, Randy, they go to Windsor College, and it's another two killers. But that's also good. So, like, that's different than these other franchises. So Billy and Stu, they don't come back from the dead. Like, they shot Billy in the head, so Billy's dead. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? There's no supernatural right. angle to this. So it's a little bit more real than anything else.
And Randy did get stabbed, but he's okay, right?
He got stabbed.
In the first one?
No. Dewey did. Dewey got stabbed in the right. back. And so they kind of fake out there. They're like, oh, maybe Dewey's dead. And that wouldn't have bothered me. Like, if Dewey was gone,
oh my God.
It wouldn't have bothered
I'm
me.
I'm glad you said that. There's four movies of just, was it David Arquette, just being an absolute buffoon. Yeah. And that shit got so tired.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so bad. And, like, why, first of all, why Courtney Cox ever married that dude? Like, you watched their entire relationship, like, play out in these movies.
I was going to say, I don't know, in real life. I don't know what's worse, that they got married in the movie or in real life. Like, neither should have happened.
No, neither should have happened, because that guy is just the biggest dingus.
He is
a dingus. The whole time.
Yeah, he's obnoxious. And you're like, Courtney Cox is an absolute dime. And you got this buffoon walking around. He's just like a klutz. So he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
I think they thought about, I don't know if they knew right away. I mean, Kevin Williamson, who wrote the first one, the second one, and the fourth one, which is no surprise because the third one is the worst. But
he wrote those,
so I think he knew there was like an idea for a sequel, but they sort of left it up in the air on whether or not Dewey would die. He did not, but he's got a noticeable limp like in the rest of the movies. But,
right.
All right. So he gets stabbed in the back. So he's there. Oh, but so now you go to college. You get introduced to more friends, more people involved. The opening scene here, which I think is pretty cool. So this is where you have Jada Pinkett Smith and Omar Epps. They're going to see Stab, which is the movie based off of the Woodsboro murders. So it was already pretty meta and like a very self-aware in the first one. And now the second one's even turning that up even more.
And it's turning it up even more. And this is where it starts to lose me a little bit. We'll get into that later.
So, okay. They admit in the movie that they kill Jada Pinkett Smith and Omar Epps because of their name. So Jada Pinkett's character's name is Maureen, which again, Sydney's mother was Maureen. Omar Epps' character's name was Phil Stevens. Stephen Orth was Drew Barrymore's boyfriend, who was the first guy to die, the guy that was taped up. Like, my boyfriend's a football player. He's going to show up and kick your ass. So that guy.
Bit of a reach. Bit of a reach there.
It's a bit of a reach, but that's why they did it. And then the same thing with Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who was at Omega Beta Zeta. She was the sober sister that night. She was back at the sorority. She gets thrown off. She gets murdered because her name was Cece. She was also seen in the film class with Randy and with Mickey, Timothy Oliphant, who we'll get to. But Cece's real name was Casey, and Casey Becker was Drew Barrymore. So the first three kills were trying to recreate the kills of the first one. You don't like that.
I don't like that. Not one bit. It seems like a bit of a reach for me. Like, that doesn't seem like enough of a motive. And I know Randy Meeks is always there to play like the clever slave to kind of, you know, in the Greek tragedy to kind of help you along and kind of explain things to you. I get it. But like at the same time, it seems a little bit forced, you know?
I think just they're just letting their intentions be known. They're like, hey, we're back. We're back, baby.
And there's all these rules, and Randy's there with his rules, and he's there like explaining it to you.
There's more deaths in a sequel, and guess what, Ryan? He was right, because there were 10 deaths in Scream 2, more than Scream, including maybe the worst part of the Scream franchise is they kill Randy Meeks, and they kill him in kind of a dumb way.
Or do they?
He comes
back in his own way in Scream 3.
No, he did not come back. He thankfully had filmed something in case of a trilogy.
Anyway, he
needed that. He needed that. So he
Rich,
gets killed in a van, and they're playing Cottonmouth Kings outside.
because you want to go down. You want to go down listening to the Cottonmouth Kings.
Not great. Not great.
And I'll tell you. And I'll tell you this, Richard. If I tell you a joke and then have to tell you why the joke is funny, is that a good joke?
Usually it is not, no.
Usually it's not. So if I have to tell you why things are happening in a movie, it's probably not a very good movie.
Well, let's just face it, because they know that not everybody would get it. There's some simpletons out there, whereas diehard fans like myself would have said, oh, Maureen, I get it. I know why Maureen's dead.
Right.
Phil Stevens.
And this was the day where the internet was just starting to become the internet, so right you couldn't
cusp.
Look it up.
We're right on the cusp yep. there. We weren't really sure.
Still in AOL chat rooms at that point, in LimeWire.
What did you think of Sydney's boyfriend, Derek, in Scream 2? Just kind of
instantly forgettable.
So Jerry O'Connell played Derek, and I guess my question would be, did you ever at any point think it was him? Because I think there was only one moment, like the moment where they were like in like the house party, and it was kind of similar to Billy, where she got scared, and then the first person she saw was Derek, and then she kind of was curious, like she was wondering. But even then, I never really I never picked Derek for it.
No, and only because they had done that in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same. And I think there's a point where he says, like, it's never who you think it, you know, it's like never the obvious choice in the second one. Right. It's always going to be someone on the fringe, you know?
So the two killers end up being in this one. You get Laurie Metcalf, who's playing, we're introduced to Laurie Metcalf earlier in the movie as Debbie Salt, a reporter. Turns out Mrs. Loomis, Billy's mother, and she got a divorce from her husband because, remember, the husband, let's go back to him. Yep. He was sleeping around with Maureen. So, and then she convinced Mickey, played by Timothy Oliphant, to help her out. And she was going to end up framing Mickey. Remember, she shoots him, which was a great. But
right.
That didn't work out. But I like that because we're introduced to her. But Mrs. Loomis, Sydney makes a reference about like how much weight she's lost or how different she looks. And she never even saw her anyway. I think only Gail Weathers saw her at the beginning. And she wasn't even really paying attention to her. So I thought they explained that well enough, and I like that because Billy was clearly like a mama's boy, and so to bring the mom back, it's also sort of an ode to Friday the 13th. So I liked it,
and Psycho, and kind of I would say Texas Chainsaw. The whole thing with the family and Texas Chainsaw,
that's just a whole thing. Yeah,
that's a whole thing. Yeah, but there is a special relationship with mothers.
Yes,
in horror movies,
Rob Zombie's Halloween. There's
oh boy, yeah,
very much so. But so I liked Scream 2. I certainly didn't love it. Like, you're right. I mean, and they even say, Randy even says when they're in that like film class and they're just like quoting movies and talking about sequels. And he's like, by definition alone, they're inferior films. And he's like, who would make a sequel? Sequels suck. So he's like, he's kind of laughing at themselves. But the truth is, in the history of horror movies, the only sequel that might be better than the original is probably Evil Dead 2. But that's kind of barely like a sequel. It's really just
It's not really a sequel. Right. It's Evil Dead, but with more of a budget. That's all it is. But they just called it Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. So like that one like almost doesn't even really count. But like technically maybe that's your answer. But
yeah,
I don't know. So that was Scream 2. Again, we'll go back to some of the topics from there from before. So two killers there. So now Scream 3 comes out in 2000. Rotten Tomatoes 36%. So a significant drop off from the first two. And with reason.
Oh, God.
This takes place in Hollywood. Also, again, of note, the only one of the three not written by Kevin Williamson. Some guy named Aaron Kruger, of all things, wrote this movie. And this is where you say two starts to lose you. Three, even to me, starts to lose me because you're going to the long-lost half-brother angle.
Which is awful.
It's bad.
Awful.
I'll admit it. That's bad.
Who's the director of Stab 3? Correct. Who you didn't see a whole lot of in the movie? Like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you don't see him at all, like through the movie. And oh, by the way, I've been up to this the whole time.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just like it takes itself so seriously that it loses the thing that the first two movies did so well, and that like kind of like talking about like different horror movies.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
But no, well, I would say they also there's more forced comedy in this one. Like the first two, I think there's some funny moments, but it's like a lot of horror movies have funny moments because you're kind of on edge. So like if some of the lines they said were in like a regular movie, you wouldn't laugh. But because there's like a little bit of tension and you're like, you're waiting to be scared. Whereas this one, and I was even reading some of the stuff up on it, and they were saying they specifically tried to make it more funny because they filmed it like right after Columbine. And so they were afraid to go like too over the top, you know, I mean, obviously just like at the timing of it. But then that just made it like, I don't know what it was trying to do really. Like it was like Parker Posey was kind of funny. She added some laughs to it. I liked her. But like Jenny McCarthy, that didn't really work. Some of the other cast of like the Stab movie, that was kind of not great.
No, and the whole thing, it was ridiculous. So at the whole time, you're almost parodying horror movies in the first one.
Right.
Then you're parodying sequels. And now you're parodying yourself.
Yes.
Like that doesn't make any sense to me. You're parodying a parody that's a parody. So like it doesn't make any sense to me.
It gets lost at that point. You're like,
and then it gets
Inception.
Even worse. Yeah. You're basically, I don't know.
But also one of the big issues was, all right, so Scream 1 has maybe the greatest beginning of all time. Scream 2, you're certainly not going to compare it with the greatest beginnings of all time, but still a solid, like, get you invested into the movie opening. The opening of Scream 3 with Cotton Weary, who we haven't even touched on yet, but he was a really good kind of, like, behind-the-scenes character because he was the guy that, again, Billy and Stu got away with the Maureen thing right. because they framed Cotton, and so they put it all in Cotton, and he went to jail. So it was really the perfect crime by Billy and Stu. But then because of Gale Weathers, Cotton gets out. So he becomes a much bigger – as the series goes on, he becomes a bigger character. And so Scream 3 opens with him and his girlfriend, his TV show, 100% Cotton. Great name.
Great name.
But then it's like the bullshit with like the voice changer. So I'm okay with everybody being able to do Ghostface voice, but now people can do Cotton's voice. I'm like, I don't know, man. So now you're going like – I didn't like that as much. And so you get that kill – and then it's the worst killer of the four movies, Roman, the half-brother, who – and they try – like, I give them points at least for trying. They're like, all right, so now you're adding another layer to it. You're like, all right, Maureen, Sydney's mother, was out in Hollywood, and, like, she wanted to be an actress, and she ended up, like, sleeping around, had a kid. You're like, I guess. So then this guy, Roman, goes to Maureen – and is like, I'm your son. She rejects him. So then Roman then videotapes Maureen like all around town with different guys, including Billy's father. And then so now what we're led to believe, and this sucks as a huge fan of the first one, because now they're telling us that it was Roman's idea to tell right. Billy about what was going on and then let Billy come up with this plan. So it kind of weakens Billy and Stu a little bit.
Yeah, it's been this whole, like, the man behind the curtain thing. It's this whole, like, Wizard of Oz kind of vibe that, you know, he's been this puppet. He's been pulling the strings this whole time, which is super fucking lame.
Yeah, so that was lame. So that was Hollywood. So then 10 years, or I guess technically 11 years later that the film came out, I think in movie time they say 10 years later, Scream 4, Rotten Tomatoes 59%. So nice jump up from Scream 3, but not as good as 1 and 2. And so I buy that. I think... if you were to rank the four, I think it's pretty easily 1, 2, 4, 3, right?
And I would go so far as to say that 3 shouldn't even exist. They should have just gone 1, 2, 4.
You know, it's funny. I was talking with Jason Rossi, our producer on Dale and Keith, and he was saying the same thing. He was like, 3 is so bad. He's like, it shouldn't be included. It should be like...
no.
I'm like, you if know, you're kind of right.
I was going to say, if you're going to watch these movies, watch 1, 2, 4 and skip 3. 3 is useless.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And there's nothing in 3 that you need to watch 4.
No, you know, you don't actually at all. You really don't.
No, it's useless.
Because think about it. In 4, Sydney's like a writer now. And where in 3, she was...
like a crisis manager.
Yes,
like a she worked at like a battered women's thing.
Yes.
Like that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And they don't even... I don't think they even reference like her in Hollywood at all.
No, now, they don't talk about it at all. It's completely useless.
The only thing that they do is in Scream 4, they talk about like how many Stab movies have been made. But even in Scream 2, you know that they're making them.
Yeah, so that, again, like it's
good point.
Irrelevant. I mean, that's a detail that you just don't need. There have been like, what, like 6 Stab movies or something at this point?
I think 7. I think that was the 7th one.
Yeah.
So they basically return to Woodsboro for Scream 4, and you go back to the double killer. That's the other thing. All the best ones have had 2 killers. And
but the other thing, too, is the beginning of Scream 4 is probably the most annoying out of all four
Ooh,
movies.
Disagree. I like it. I like
it. Because you have, like, Scream the 4. One, and then you find out that, like, oh, it's, like, 2 girls watching a horror movie. The ghost face shows up. Oh, then never mind. That's Stab. Yeah. And then you watch another one and it's Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell. Yeah. And they're like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like, that's so formulaic. And then they do that. Like, oh, that's a movie too.
Right.
And then the whole thing takes like 12 minutes.
I love it. I thought it was, first of all, it's like a hot girl tsunami. It just not right out of the chute. I think it's Lucy Hale and Shanae Grimes, who was in the 90210 reboot. It was those correct. Two. And yep. then it turns out that's a movie, and it's Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell are watching that movie. But then you find out that they're also in a movie, those two are, and it is Coach Taylor's daughter and some other girl I've never seen before. They're actually really in Woodsboro, but they were watching right. that movie, which that movie was watching that movie, which is Inception. Is what it is. It's a which better is, version yeah. of Inception.
It's a... I don't think it's a better version of Inception. I think it's people trying to be clever and it not working.
Well, agree to disagree.
It's what makes us different. You know what I mean? I think it's silly. And I don't think it's the right kind of silly. Like the Three Stooges is silly, but I'll still watch it. This is silly for the sake of wackiness, and I don't like it.
Well, I thought it was pretty good. Now, the two killers in this one are Jill and Charlie. So Jill yeah. is Sydney's cousin, played by Emma Roberts. Her character's name is Jill Roberts, by the way, which is kind of an interesting thing. And then mm-hmm. Charlie, played by Rory Culkin. And their goal was to frame Trevor, who was the boyfriend who cheated on Jill. And Jill was also just super jealous. So here's the other thing. Here's one thing I don't really love about it is Roman, the half-brother, part of his motivation was how famous he saw that Sydney became.
Yes.
And then what's all of Jill's motivation?
It's the same thing. Yeah. Like, I want to be you. It's yeah. like this obsession. Like, I want to be you. I want to be famous kind of right. thing, which, yeah. again, makes it, it either makes the fourth. If you've seen the third, it makes the fourth worse. If you haven't seen the third, it makes, you know what I mean? Like, it makes that, yeah, I don't know. The
third's not helping anybody. But It's not helping anybody. But they did kind of up it a little bit. Like, you have one of the kids in, like, the AV, not the AV club, but, like, the movie club. And he's kind of like doing Twitch before Twitch. Like he's just like filming everything he does.
And I think that's the only interesting thing about this part of this, movie is that in 2011, you know, they say it's been 10 years, mm-hmm. but how people become famous now, has completely changed. And the reason their motivation for doing it is that we have to do it this way is because nobody reads anymore. Like no one's going to read this book.
Yeah.
So we have to do it as we have to do it like live. Like people have to see us doing it right. for it to actually matter.
Right.
Which is a nice little study of how fame works these days. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I don't think the whole mass murdering thing. And the other thing that bothered me about this movie too is just how cavalier people are about like seeing a dead body.
Yeah, that's
like there's true. I forget who it is. It was Amy Teagarden or whoever like fell out of the roof and like landed on top of a car.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it must have been Alison Brie. It was Elwyn.
Oh yeah,
Alison Brie's character dies yep. and she gets thrown off. By the way, spoilers
For all of these. Yep.
Yeah, she gets thrown off like the parking garage and like lands on her and like. David Arquette, Dewey, and what's her name?
Gail.
Courtney Cox's kid, Gail. They just have like a conversation with like this girl's dead body, like on the top of a car. Yeah,
they are used to it. They are used to it. Not everybody else.
I know, but it's like, how desensitized. And maybe that's, people will say in the end, like, oh, well, they did that on purpose to show how the desensitization of violence or whatever. I'm like, no, that's nonsense. It's just bad writing and it's stupid.
Well, I mean, I do think there is something like the whole idea of they're like, well, now like the killer needs to film the kills. Otherwise it's like not as cool. Like that's,
well, kinda, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But the whole, the characters in 3 and 4 were just so paper thin and stupid that it bothered me. Like, well, what's the deal with Judy, the other police officer?
Well, I think they just wanted you to think she was the killer. It's another whodunit.
I did not think for a second that she was the killer of anything. That's the thing. Like you sniffed that out.
When she was in the hallway, though, wasn't that kind of scary? When like all you could see like, was her eyes. When she's coming over to check on the friend, like the neighbor who died, and she's just like standing there like a creep show, and then she's like, "Oh, hi, Sydney. Like you don't remember me."
Like, oh yeah, that was in the beginning. Yeah, that was a little weird. But
so also with the way my brain works is so she said that she was in high school with her. So I'm like, okay, so she was in high school with Rose McGowan and with Billy Loomis and with mm-hmm. Steve Mocker and with Drew Barrymore. And I'm like, it's just kind of funny. But
she's like, and she was like, we were in the same homeroom for 4 years. We were in this class together. We were in drama club together.
Yeah,
we were in. the same play, and she's like, well, you wouldn't remember me. You know, you either, like, like, how do you not remember that person?
I don't know. You know? I'm actually pretty bad at that. Like, that, there are definitely, you do forget about people. Like, I'm with you. I used to think that was insane, but then when people are like, oh, do you remember so-and-so? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I went to a small school, and I still probably don't.
That's the thing. Like, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm really good with, like, names and faces.
No, they absolutely. Yeah. My wife has, like, facial recognition. Like, she could work for the CIA. Like, she'll meet somebody. She won't even meet them. She'll, like, see somebody once and then be like, oh, I think that was your friend. And I'll be like, what? She's like, isn't that so-and-so? And, like, that's happened before. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. How'd you know that? She's like, oh, I think I saw him, like, in a picture with you. I'm like, what the hell? So yeah. I don't have that.
She's, spoiler, Katie, Rich's wife, still doesn't know my name. No. So we're working on that.
Your face, though. But,
she knows my face. She knows my face. Yeah.
No, she just doesn't like your picks, is what it comes down to. So yeah. There you go. There's Scream 4. Again, so Jill is sort of like a psycho. But bottom line is, oh, the other thing, Sydney doesn't even, so she's kind of with Detective Kincaid, played by the dude from Grey's Anatomy, at the end of 3.
At 3, yeah.
It's not even mentioned in 4.
Not even mentioned.
No.
I'm telling you, 3 is useless.
You're right. The more I think about it, it's like, I think Kevin Williamson was probably like, I didn't write it. I'm not going to reference it. Like, I'm just, we're moving
on. I want nothing to do with it.
But Wes Craven did direct the third one, which is weird.
He directed all 4.
Which never happens in horror franchises, ever.
No, never.
Ever.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, what I don't like about 4 is that, like, people get stabbed in the stomach a lot in this movie. And this is something I just picked up on, and this might be nitpicking. You either die instantly or you survive. Like Hayden Panettiere gets stabbed in the stomach, dies instantly.
I don't know if she's dead. I think if there's a Scream 5, I think Kirby could be in it.
I like her with the little pixie cut, by the way. I don't mean to.
Yeah.
Oh, she looked wonderful in that movie.
She's like a girl Randy too. She knows her movies.
Oh, she knows her movies. She would be a great guest and the friend of the podcast. Anytime, Hayden Panettiere.
Kirby, come on.
Anytime. Podcast. And then Neve Campbell gets stabbed in the stomach, and they're like, she's going to make it. Like, she gets stabbed, like, twice in the stomach, and she's going to make it.
She's tough. Yeah, she's tougher than
you. And then Dewey gets bested by a teenage girl with a bedpan. Like, I can't with him.
And Emma Roberts, like, is probably 95 pounds.
I can't even with him.
That's the one guy I really can't make any – I don't know how to defend that. I can't.
You can't. It's the worst. And you know what's funny is that – the scary movie. Remember Scary Movie when they did Doofy?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if that character was better than Dewey.
It was.
Like, Doofy was
And so, Scary Movie was actually the initial title of Scream. That's what Kevin Williams
Which is funny.
It, which is really, yeah. really which funny. Is, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing with Dewey is at no point does he ever mourn or mention his sister who died.
Right. And never not once. Only that, I don't think he ever does anything correctly the entire time.
He sucks.
He's a buffoon. And like in 4, he's the sheriff.
Yeah.
Like, he's the sheriff.
Yeah.
And Anthony Anderson in this movie what does he say? Fuck Bruce Willis, like, as he's dying.
Yes.
Like, those are his last words.
Those are his last words. Yeah.
Yeah. That's silly. It's too wacky for me.
Yeah. Adam Brody. Yeah. What's your warm take?
The best part of Scream 4 is the 30 seconds of Shaun of the Dead they show on a TV.
that's just mean.
It's true.
I like the opening. You don't like the opening. I like some of Kirby's dialogue throughout the film. I think she's a pretty good character.
I was locked in whenever she was on the screen. I'll tell you that.
I also thought the other kid, that had the little headset on, I didn't mind him. I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's my question, Ryan. Is Wes Craven the best horror director of all time?
I mean, this is something you're going to be like, how dare you? But, like, you have...
No.
Like, Argento, like, George Romero. Like, you're going to put him... Like, I would put him in the same conversation, but I don't think he's better than those guys. I don't think he's better than Raimi.
I think he has a very well-diversified group.
I would say prolific is a word I would use.
Like, Last House on the Left, Nightmare on Elm Street, The Hills Have Eyes... The People Under the Stairs, I thought was really good.
Did he do The Thing?
No.
That was Carpenter.
Carpenter did that. I mean, Carpenter's obviously right at the top.
Yep.
There's a lot of good ones.
He's in the conversation. Movies, though. Yeah. I mean, this is like the, is LeBron James the best the best player in the NBA. Like, it's no. It's one of those things where you're like, people are like, now. Absolutely not. Yeah. But you also have people who are like, he absolutely is.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's worth a conversation.
I think he's definitely in the, yeah, I think he's on the short list. We can have,
it has to be.
We can have a vote at some point. We can put it in the old Twitter poll.
Yeah.
The other question is, so I think it's the best horror franchise. I know last week you said Evil Dead's the best horror franchise. What constitutes a franchise? Like, is a trilogy just a trilogy, or is a trilogy a franchise?
I think it has to be have more than one sequel, as I would call it a franchise. So if you have a trilogy, that's a franchise.
Is that right? No, is two movies a franchise?
No.
Okay. So three. Because the other thing is, Evil Dead technically has four, right? Because then they have a remake. So, like, that count. Like, that's all.
Well, they have Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and then the remake of Evil Dead.
So that, to me, is definitely a franchise. But I was trying to think, like, if there's a series.
And they also had the TV show. So they had Ash versus Evil Dead, which is a continuation of those movies, too, which was a great show.
That was a good show. That's true. All right, Roddy. You ready for my list of reasons why Scream is great?
Yes.
Some we've already hit on, such as number one, the opening scene, killing Drew Barrymore, best opening horror scene of all time. Number two, being aware of horror movies. We already discussed that. Number three, the whodunit aspect of the whole thing. I think that's just sort of another nice layer because you're always trying to guess. And I never got all the killers right. Never. There's no chance. I don't think anybody really did. Again, the multiple killer things I like. The fact that the killer can and does die and then it's just swapped out in the next movie is kind of refreshing compared to some of the other movies that's just impossible, like the ones that can't die. Randy Meeks is one of the best things. Oh, the mask. What do you think of the mask?
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah.
And, you know, tepid takes here.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I don't love the mask.
I do love the mask.
See, I don't, and because there are so much better iconic masks. When you think of Leatherface, you think Jason, you think even Freddy Krueger didn't wear a mask, but you think like his face. Michael Myers, like you think of these masks, and they were trying to establish another one of those, and it doesn't look scary to me.
It looks like Edvard Muth's the Scream.
it does, but like I think that was the idea, but that doesn't scare me.
All right. I think I like it. I think it's not as good as like the good Michael Myers masks, but then the bad Michael Myers masks, it's better than.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's become its own thing, which is fine. But like it never, like if I saw someone walking towards me in a Michael Myers mask, I'd be like, I would like
I'm out of here.
Take a step back and be like, I'm out.
I will see.
If someone was like walking around like a ghost face mask, I'd be like, take that stupid shit off.
Which
like, first of all, you can't see through that thing.
No, you're in trouble there. You're in trouble. Let's see. I thought it was a good title for a series. I think it's very simple. Like, I think these one word, like Scream, is perfect. Like, it's so simple, and you're almost surprised there wasn't a horror movie called that before.
Right.
Henry Winkler as Principal Himbry. What'd you think of him?
It's what's interesting to me is I saw him in this movie, and then I saw him in The Waterboy, and then I saw him in Parks and Rec. He played John Ralphio's father in Parks and Rec. And I have a hard time reconciling that Henry Winkler at one point was like the coolest motherfucker on earth.
That's right.
The Fonz, and like the Fonz were like the coolest guy ever. And I cannot for the life of me understand how you went from being that cool to uncool in the matter of like 15 years.
And like in Arrested Development, his character is the best.
Oh yeah.
He's amazing.
Who is he? He's the lawyer.
Yeah. He's the lawyer and he's a mess.
He's not Bob Blah-Blah. Bob Blah-Blah is Scott Baio.
Yeah, no.
But I forget what his name. No, shit. It's going to bother me now.
All right. We'll look it up. It's
another doofus.
I can't even think of it either. Let's see.
You keep going with your things. I'll look it up.
Oh, I got it. I guess it's gonna bother me too. Oh, Barry Zuckerkorn.
There it is, Zuckerkorn.
He is great. All right, some of the other stuff. Let's see. How about from start to finish, the ladies? If you're into ladies, Rose McGowan, Courtney Cox, Neve Campbell, Rebecca Gayhart, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jenny McCarthy, Emma Roberts, Kristen Bell, Hayden Panettiere, Coach Taylor's daughter, Allison Brie. Jada Pickett Smith, just to name a few, Ryan. It is a pretty
just soup to nuts.
Yeah,
soup to Parker Posey. Don't sleep on Parker Posey.
No, definitely not.
Good list there. Yeah, soup to nuts. And I would say the I know we don't like to rank women here. That's not, but
no, but if you could,
Neve Campbell, I think Neve Campbell is like the every you know your American Girl is great.
Great,
like your All American Girl.
If you could steal a smooch from anyone in the Scream franchise, Ryan, who would it be?
It would have to be Kirby, Hayden Panettiere.
There you go.
I like the short hair. I like that she's, you know, has a walking horror movie encyclopedia. She's a little sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just a little pocket thing, too. She's tiny.
That is true. I would, of course, go with Lois from Scream 2 as portrayed by Rebecca Gayhart.
Of course you would. I have a hard time, again, things that don't make sense in my mind, how Hayden Panettiere is married to Vladimir Klitschko.
It is odd.
Who is just, it's an odd. He's like 6'7", like 250 pounds. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's an odd pairing. You're not wrong. I also like this. When we first met Billy Loomis, you could hear faintly in the background, Don't Fear the Reaper was playing.
I do remember that.
Which is really good. First of all, they play it in Halloween when Laurie and Annie are in the car. But also, just the fact that, all right, here, the first time you're introduced to the killer, like, it's right there in front of you. Like, they're playing this song right in the background, which is cool. I did like the Cotton Weary storyline. I thought that was good. I didn't like how it ended, obviously, but I liked where it was. I like the Wes Craven cameo in the first movie, playing Fred the janitor, wearing the Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy Krueger sweater. That was nice.
That was nice. Yeah,
the whole
nice
idea,
touch.
I like the establishing the Stab movie franchise, where the first film was directed by Robert Rodriguez.
I did like. I caught that, and I thought that was pretty good.
And I think I read somewhere that he actually did direct that sequence, either that or like he was in talks to even direct the original, or like there was something, like it wasn't just random that they pulled that name out there.
Oh, he was like on set that day
I think
or something.
He did have something to do with that. And then Heather Graham played Drew Barrymore. Luke Wilson played Billy. They refer to it later, like Tori Spelling ended up playing Sidney Prescott. So like they established like a whole little universe, which I thought was cool.
Which is a terrible casting call.
Oh, that's a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a Linda Blair cameo. Of course, Linda Blair from The Exorcist. She was a reporter in Scream 1, so I like that.
Yes.
Let's see. So basically what happens is Maureen sleeping with Billy's father. That's all that it took to lead to roughly 37 kills.
And when you boil it down, yeah.
Right? Like if she never slept with Billy's dad, none of this would have happened.
Well, that's what you got to learn your lesson there.
Kind of on Maureen in a way, am I right?
It's kind of on her.
Yeah. Also, this franchise is pretty unique. It gives you a great high school movie and a great college movie, in my mind. Ryan, I hope you're sitting down for this one. Scream 3, not a good movie, unbelievable soundtrack. Despite having two songs from Creed, which I can't explain, they also had songs from the following bands: Slipknot, System of a Down, Seven Dust, Static X, Dope, Power Man 5000, Orgy, and Coal Chamber.
I remember this was a staple in your your CD collection.
I for sure would rock the hell out of that.
Also, that's like every band you love on one album.
And Creed.
And Creed.
Featuring Creed. Apparently, the Scream universe is also in the View Askewiverse because Jay and Silent Bob pop up in Scream 3.
I forgot about that thing.
Also, one scary thing I did find from Scream 3, that scene where Sydney's like kind of dreaming and she sees her dead mom walking towards her.
Yeah.
That was pretty scary, right?
Yeah, a little bit. All right, but again, like, it's not supposed to be taken. That's it. When do we get into the supernatural with these things?
Well, it was a dream. It was a dream.
Yeah.
All right, here's how it could have been better. Kill Dewey. Maybe. Do you think they should have shown Billy and Stu with Maureen, or was it better off not being shown?
It's better off not being shown.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Talking about it off screen is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, kill Dewey for sure.
Gail's hair in Scream 3 was rough.
Oh my God. What was that with the no, like the anti bangs? She did like the guy,
I don't know.
Basically the girl equivalent of like negative sideburns.
Yeah, it was a weird look.
Tough look. And that wasn't even a good look back then. Like I remember seeing that and being like, ugh,
No, that didn't work then. All right, Ryan, this is a list of people that were either offered the role or at the very least auditioned for the role. And what do you think it would have been like had, you know, this actor played this role? So,
okay, I'll say better or worse. I'll just say it's better or worse.
Yeah, okay, good. Drew Barrymore as Sidney Prescott.
Worse.
Brittany Murphy as Sidney Prescott.
Worse.
And I won't say if I agree with you, I just won't say.
So,
it.
So I agree, you know what the other thing too is like, oh, I hit the mic. If you had Sydney Prescott go crazy, Brittany Murphy would have been better. Because remember, was that movie she was in, like the I'll Never Tell movie or something like that?
That one was called
with like Michael Douglas. Don't say a word. She was good in that when she was like doing like that weird crazy and the girl interrupted. She played good crazy.
I think she could pick of the pod. Brittany Murphy, I think, could have done it.
Yeah, she could have done it. But if the movie was dark, if it was like super dark and she had like Scream 2, she like went crazy. Like Brittany Murphy would have been pretty good.
Apparently, Kevin Williamson wanted Molly Ringwald at one point, but she would have been too old.
Way too old.
Yeah. Breckin Meyer as Randy Meeks.
He kind of played that same character in Clueless, right? Like he was kind of like
Yeah, but like not as like, you know, not like
a nerdy, guy, but
more like a skateboard
again,
type,
but he looks old.
Yeah, I think
Jamie Kennedy was the equal parts like funny and annoying that like pulled that character off.
I think he
so
was perfect.
This is the only time I'll praise Jamie Kennedy for anything on this podcast, and that was one of them.
What about Jason Lee as Randy Meeks?
No, too old.
I think and like too like big. Like not that he's big,
too
but like,
tall.
Too tall.
Yeah,
too tall.
Yeah.
What about Freddie Prinze Jr. as Stu Mocker?
No.
Yeah, no,
absolutely not.
The best. You don't need
Lillard was good, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is such a stiff.
Yeah. All right, here's two for Gale Weathers. So Courtney Cox is Gale Weathers. Brooke Shields.
That could have worked.
Or Janine Garofalo.
Oh, I think that's well cast.
I think Garofalo, if they wanted to go funny, obviously, I think Courtney Cox is perfect.
Or like weird, if they wanted to go weird. She was great as the bowler. In Mystery Men.
She was really good as the bowler. Not to be confused with the waffler, who was
played by Dane Cook.
Now, here are three Billy Loomises, then we can wrap up. Three Billy Loomises. One, believe it or not, David Arquette as Billy Loomis. Ugh. That would have been horrible. Joaquin Phoenix as Billy Loomis.
That would have been pretty good, actually.
That would have been interesting for sure. And then
because that guy, apparently that guy can be anybody now. He's like the dude, like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, not only that, but you got to remember this was 1996. This was a long time ago. So he was a lot younger. And then the last one apparently kicked around was Ben Affleck for Billy Loomis,
which would have been good because he's a big dude.
I think it would have actually been really good because you think 96 was like
that was like Dazed and Confused. Affleck.
Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, you know. that's like around then, right? Phantoms was probably earlier, but
no. And it was like I said, like Dazed and Confused. Affleck.
Ryan, do you want to see a Scream 5?
Absolutely not.
All right.
Do you?
Well, no. Wes Craven.
Be honest with yourself.
Wes Craven's a pick of the pod, so I don't want to see
sure
one without Wes.
But what if
Robert,
I don't know, who's like a. Yeah, like Robert Rodriguez does it, or...
Of course I would want to see a Scream 5. I would see a Scream... I watched the goddamn Scream TV series, and it had nothing to do with this.
What about Eli Roth?
Maybe. Maybe.
If he tones it down a little bit with the whole, like...
Yeah, cool it out a little bit.
The violence towards women thing that he really likes
like James,
a little too much.
Maybe James Wan, maybe.
James Wan would be nice.
James Wan would be a good one. Anything else, Ryan, on Screams? I could talk Screams all day here.
I know you could. Say, I know you could. Is there any? I was going to ask you if there's anything else you want to say about Scream.
Love
I think
it.
I will say though, Richard, I was pretty diplomatic here. I didn't have the venom. The hot chili was not today.
No, you didn't. Well, I think what you did was after watching all the Halloweens again, you realized that you know this is my biggest argument. Let's take Scream 3 as without question the worst of the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's still better than maybe half of the Halloweens and maybe half of the Fridays and half of the Nightmares.
But it was one of those things where. Season of the Witch, Curse of Michael Myers, those movies are so bad, but they're still watchable because they're bad. I always felt like Scream 3 was bad and was trying to be good.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, it took itself a little too seriously.
No, I mean, that might be right, but I also think, like, Halloween 5, like, just stacking up the movies, like, it's significantly
better. Yeah, no, you're right. They are, you're absolutely right.
All right. So that's why I say overall, now... If they had 8 movies, like all those other ones, or 10 movies, then maybe it would be just as bad. But they kind of quit before they made too many dumps. You know?
Let me ask you a question. We're going off book right now.
Okay.
But how pitch me a reboot of Scream for today?
So I guess the question would be, do you want any of the characters coming back, or do you want to start all the way fresh again?
Just reboot it. Reboot the whole thing.
Oof, man.
Who do you, here's my question. Who do you cast as Sydney Prescott today?
Oh, so you're just like rebooting Scream? Like you're just the whole starting thing. Over?
Starting over. Ugh. As they're doing with like Halloween now, as they're doing with, I believe there is several remakes in the works right now. There's a Flash Gordon remake coming that nobody asked for.
Well, so this is what I would actually do is I would go the model of Halloween. And I said, this could be the next trend. So what you do is you either pick it up from Scream or Scream 2. You decide what you mm-hmm. want to do right there. And you want to just, maybe you do what Danny McBride and the writers did. And they say, all right, we're taking Halloween and that's it. So maybe you can say, you know, Sydney, go bring back Neve Campbell is what I would say, and say either she didn't go to college or she did, and start fresh from there and like what's going on with her. And I guess they tried doing that in a way with Scream 4, but they tied in too much of the other stuff. And you could make it darker. Like you could definitely have Dewey's dead, you know, Gail's a mess and like whatever else, and kind of do it up that way.
What if you had like, you know, like a Chloe Moretz as a Sydney Prescott?
Yeah.
Or
I'm telling you, the TV show, they kind of tried doing this, and they don't reference Woodsboro, and they don't do that, but it's like the same idea, but it's like, you know, souped up with the technology, you know, and so you have a kid. Actually, the kid in that series, I forget what the actor's name is, that is basically their Randy, is like really good. Like he was probably the highlight of the show, but then they sprinkle it in with a bunch of hot girls, a bunch of hot guys, and it's just like a sexy teen drama horror. You know,
just get after it.
That's kind of what it is. But it's also one of those things where I don't think they can't do better. You know, like that's why Halloween, it was smart that they like, all right, we're doing a sequel rather than like, we're not going to remake Halloween because you can't do better. And Scream, you know, you can't remake it. I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't do that.
So anyway, I love it.
But hey,
I love it. You know,
I know you do.
This has been a real successful hashtag Dorktober 3 season of The Witch, but that's going
to
do it.
It really has. I'm sad it's coming to an end. What do we got next week? Is it Daredevil next week?
Yeah, let's do Daredevil season 3 next week.
Okay.
I have not finished it yet, but I will by next week.
Oh, you got to finish. You got to finish that series.
I will. I'm going to do it. It's a promise. It's a promise to you. All right. If that's it on screen, what do you say we get to the old pick of the pod?
Let's hit it.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal, Ryan?
I will defer this week.
I have a couple of things. First, I started reading the comic books that I mentioned, or the graphic novels I mentioned last week. I hadn't read them yet, but I picked them up. I read the first volume of Baltimore. It involves vampires and stuff. Pretty good. I'll pick up the second volume as well, see where that goes. And then after asking you about it, I started very early. I'm only through like one issue, not even a volume, just one issue of Fables, but I think I'm going to really like it. I think it's pretty good.
And Fables is really good. It's super clever.
Yeah.
And before they pull them off the digital market, I will have you play The Wolf Among Us once you're done with the first volume of that.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know all the characters, the game that Telltale made.
Okay, cool.
Is super good. And you'll know all the characters, and it's actually a really fun game with
them. Awesome. So yeah, so anyway, I know that's sort of cheating. Those are double picks of the pod, but I read those. I actually read them this time, so I really can recommend those.
And I can recommend this to you. I'm going to do the same thing this week. My pick of the pod is, in fact, The Haunting of Hill House, which I did mention last week.
Ooh, boy. You know what, Ryan? Sorry to cut you off again. I've been doing that the whole episode. But I am, I think, 7 episodes through that. That might be
right with you.
That might be a good bonus. We won't be in Dorktober anymore, but we need to discuss it. This show is
we need
sweet.
To discuss that. It's great. And if you go to and I'm so nervous to call it the pick of the pod because I don't want it to end poorly. The only thing I have trouble with shows like this, think of like American Horror Story or think of like even like horror movies. They build it up so much and then they end so poorly.
Yeah.
So I really hope that this show doesn't do this. But I like you. I'm like 7 or 8 episodes in. The last episode I saw was this isn't giving anything away, but there's a funeral.
Oh, I think I'm right before that then.
Yeah, so that's the one I saw. So, and I caught up, I watched like 5 episodes in a night, and it was just don't YouTube anything about it, just watch it. Don't just take my word for it, take Rich's word for it, just watch the first couple episodes and tell us what you think.
Yeah, 2 things I would say is it is a little bit of a slow burn, not like insanely slow, but it's a slower burn. And they throw a lot of characters at you early on, and you'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. You're going to be like, oh, is that? Who's that? Who's that? Like, you'll figure it out. They make it pretty clear as it goes on, but they throw a lot at you right away.
Yep, and we'll talk about this off air, but there was one episode that was awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that off air, though.
All right, cool. So that'll do it. So next week is Daredevil Season 3. We'll probably do a Haunting on Hill House coming up as well. Let us know what you guys think about Scream, or what is your favorite horror franchise? Who is your favorite horror director? Those are all things that came up. So you can hit us up on Twitter, at Dork Podcast. You can email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/DorkPodcast. iTunes, rate, review, subscribe on the iTunes, just about everywhere else that you can find podcasts. Tell a friend, tell a dork. Also, Ryan, you are on the Twitch.
I'm on the Twitch. At Arvon D on any and all social media. So please check that out. We're trying to get the regular Twitch schedule back. It's been a little bit of hinky right now. Some children illnesses going around.
Oh, boy.
Just head colds, you know, all that stuff. So,
sure.
So definitely Thursday, Friday this week, we'll be hitting that up. So,
well, everybody have a very happy Halloween. Maybe you're listening to this while you're trick or treating with the kids or whatever you happen to be doing. So, actually, that might not be safe. Don't do that. Just
You
have an ear out there for cars and everything else. But
yeah,
maybe you're done. Maybe you're sitting there, you're stuffing your face with candy. We say hello to you. You guys made it all a very successful Dorktober once again. We'll be back next week with Daredevil Season 3. Ryan, another perfect episode.
We did it again.
Hashtag, it's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.